just radio.
I gotta learn more about politics. I hear about fundraisers where it's $1,000 a plate. Wow, $1,000 a plate. I would have to send the food back, just out of the principle of the thing. Excuse me, please, just take this away. Is there a problem with your meal, sir? Well, it's good. It just ain't $1,000 good.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity Webworks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Fun.
Want to take a ride?
Revealing.
Is this real or is this just a ride?
Enlightening.
What I don't know, I can learn. What I do know, nobody can teach.
And notably magical.
Pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars.
And delightful.
They're magically delicious.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
You ready to get fancy? It's 6:02 on the West Coast for your Friday. Welcome to the weekend. For your July 10, 2015, listen, be yourself, because an original is far more valuable than a copy. Today on the program, because it is Friday, because you asked for it, we'll talk about book marketing strategy today. The write, the publish, and market approach. The write, the publish, and market approach. You know, an author writes books for a myriad of reasons and for a plethora of purposes. So you have been thinking about finally writing that book. Well, what was your why? What is your why? What are your reasons for wanting to be an author in the first place? What result do you expect to occur? Now, once you've realistically answered these questions, you must then define your target reader. Again, identify apparent niches and determine your author competitors. In other words, your book marketing strategy is called into action before typing your first book writing keystroke. So what process might an author use to more accurately determine how their book will be received by the book's target audience? We'll talk about that in the program today. And if you're writing books, you certainly better be attending conferences, especially if at some point you want to be a keynote speaker. You got to get your fanny out there. Conferences are good for networking, but they're really great for marketing. We'll check in with our friends over at Entrepreneur, get some insight there. And we'll check in with Kim McLaughlin. And she, of course, is over at Lyra Communications. And she'll talk about the top 10 writing rules from famous writers. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live for your Friday. So, do you have a big weekend planned? Are you going to just kind of stand down a little bit? It's still summertime, so is it going to be barbecuing, family, friends, that kind of thing? Hey, listen, just make sure whatever you do, you go out and you party responsibly, right? Remember, we're all leaders, right? People are watching. I want to make sure we're setting a good example. Have a ball, but also don't forget to measure the your remember risk management. It certainly applies during our weekend of fun and frolic. So again, have a safe weekend. But also make sure, too, that you're looking for those opportunities each and every day to look out there to love somebody, be a blessing to someone, help someone. Sometimes it's just as much as a smile, a hello, a wave. Let somebody have that parking place. So you got to walk a couple extra feet. Put the shopping cart away. All right? What else can you do each and every day to just do these little things that do truly make a difference, all about positive social change? All right. I know you'll do that. So let's get into the program today because there's a lot to talk about. I want to thank you very much for your thousands upon thousands of emails, social media pings. Thank you for being part of the Inner Circle for the past 13 years. Those of you that are new to the Inner Circle, glad to have you part of the family. If you're not part of the Inner Circle yet, it's absolutely free. I'd love to hear from you. Make your way over to the hub at tjmoreno.com. Opt in. It'll take you about 10 seconds. And while you're there, you can listen to all the archives of the program because we produce the program live Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. But if you do miss the program, we also make it available podcast style. We turn it into a podcast right after the live airing, and we make it available on the hub for free for you. Again, help yourself, tjmoreno.com. All right, so let's get into today's subject matter. Before we really talk about the book marketing strategy, the right publish and marketing approach, let's just zero in a little bit first on aspects relative to the conferences. This is where you're going to go out and you're going to network. You're going to mingle. You're going to rub elbows. You're going to get belly to belly, eye to eye, face to face, right? Well, here's some tips to make sure that you maximize these conference go-tos, all right? So, and I want to thank our friends at Entrepreneur for providing this, particularly our buddy Derek Newton. He's a contributor, communications director for the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. Thanks, Derek. It's easy to be down about conferences. Travel's exhausting. It's expensive. And after you've been to a few conferences, they can be awfully repetitive, unless you're in the bar or catering business. It can be difficult to see the return on investment because all that is true, conferences are frequently overlooked for their marketing potential. Now, done right, they can be marketing gold, especially for startups, especially for authors. Here's some tips on how to view and use conferences and conventions to build brand awareness and customer base through marketing. First, don't just go. You need to show. You need to see. I call it see and be seen. Many conferences, and especially those centered around hard market segments like technology or construction, have trade show components where companies can buy tables or booths to show off their products. Well, if you can get one if you can. It's not that potential customers are going to line up at your booth and wait to hand you contracts and checks or buy all of your books. It's not going to happen. But two things are nonetheless true. First, those who walk past or talk fast at trade show venues are either customers or their competitors, and both are good. They are, typically, highly engaged and well-informed. Second, and most importantly, simply being there is an important message. It says, here we are, and that you're investing in this process, and that you have something to say. From a marketing perspective, directed at such a highly engaged audience, that's pretty essential. Next, don't just be present, present. If you target a conference 6 months or more in advance, don't be shy about asking the organizers to give a speech or even join a panel or even a debate. Review the program of the upcoming or past conferences. And be ready to explain what you'd say and why it's interesting. But do ask. Remember, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. This is part of public relations right there. There's a world of difference between handing out a dozen cards at the bar and holding a microphone in front of 200 market colleagues. One of those has real value, and you can guess which one. But don't be discouraged if the organizers pass. Now, there's also value in asking. By making the inquiry, those organizing the event will know you and believe you have something to say. When they meet you in person, they're going to remember. Also, if you bought a booth at the Trade Center, don't hesitate to mention it in your request. It's not good conference business to say no to people who are writing the checks. Next, think about sponsoring something at one of these conferences, right? Nearly every conference has sponsors, official media partners, official energy drinks, and even operating systems. If you have a marketing budget, ask and ask early about sponsoring. Now, after sponsorships, include prime logo and brand placement on conference materials that reach many more people than actually ever attend these events. They can also include speaking and media opportunities, or even VIP receptions, or frankly, you name it. No, really, if your company can afford to be a conference sponsor, ask for what you need. You may get it. You want to meet the keynote speaker? Well, then ask. Want the hosting organization to endorse your business? Ask. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. A surprising number of people see conference as a networking opportunity, but overlook the real branding and marketing possibilities. Marketing, getting in front of your clients and potential customers and conferences, is an undervalued part of the conference investment and experience, said Devin Shane. He's the founder and CEO of the National Education Initiative, which hosts one of the biggest annual education conferences. Get more on that in the National Education Week. While sponsorships can help to elevate your brand over an extended period, speaking on panels and media opportunities on site at conferences can build your thought leadership profile, which also lends ultimate credibility to your brand, and it's just as valuable. So the next time you or your marketing team runs across an interesting or exciting conference in your business space, don't just land, plan. Conferences are pretty solid places to invest. You won't find a better captive audience anywhere. I want to thank our friends over at Entrepreneur, and particularly Derek Newton, Contributor Communications Director for the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. Check out Entrepreneur.com today.
Strategist Radio.
Something bothering you in business? Let me know. Send me an email anytime, support@tjmarino.com. We get together on Fridays and we put together next week's programming, and we watch very carefully, we read very carefully what you send our way. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or if you have a blog you'd like to share, an audio track, video track, let me know. Send me the details to support@tjmarino.com. Broadcasting out to over 120 countries, 13 years into the program, from the lovely, historical Reed Opera House. So blessed to be able to be producing the program here at our studios. The Reed, you can, R-E-E-D, you can check it out online. It's in the state capital of Oregon, Salem, Oregon, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. We're a block or two away from our capital, state capitol building, and wonderful neighbors. And this building was built in 1870. One of my mentors actually lectured here. And, of course, that's Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens. We had Susan B. Anthony come through and campaign in this building. Hillary Clinton was here a few years back. Presidents throughout the years, even, what is it, John Philip Sousa, you know, the big band leader from way back when. So a lot of history here. Checking out Reed Opera House. I want to thank Roger Yost for allowing us to have our facilities here to broadcast this program each and every day to you. And also our production team here at Trinity and Trinity WebWorks, also Trinity Publishing International. Those of you on our team that work so hard and diligently to help me produce this program each and every day, you are absolutely amazing. Namaste. I love you.
Yeah! Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about what I call book review polling. It's part of the book marketing research ideation process, and I'm going to talk about that in just a couple seconds in conjunction with the theme for today's program. But first, I want to share with you, Kim McLaughlin checks in with us. These are top 10 rules from famous writers, and these will inspire your writing, no doubt, and your love of the craft. Lyric Communications' Kim McLaughlin shares her insights. Check it out.
Today I'm going to share with you what I consider to be the top 10 rules of writing from the world's most famous writers. So the number 10 rule is write a draft, then let it rest. And this comes to us via Stephen King. It's fantastic advice. You know, I usually try to put a day or two between drafts, but it depends on your deadline. You know, Neil Gaiman actually recommends that not only do you let it rest, but that you also give it to a friend who can review it for you and advise you. And Margaret Atwood has the same advice, only she recommends that the person that you ask to read your work and advise you should never be someone you're romantically involved with, unless, of course, you wish to end it, at which time it's great advice. So number 9, also from Stephen King, is to read a lot. And Stephen King actually writes, read a lot. If you want to be a better writer, you need to read a lot to get fresh input, broaden your horizons, and deepen your knowledge. I think it's great. And, you know, I advise all aspiring copywriters to immerse themselves in the masters like Andy Maslin and Seth Godin. I consider them required reading for copywriters. So number 8 comes to us via George Orwell, who said, never use a long word when a short one will do. God love him for saying that. You know, instead of writing utilize, it's better to write use. Or instead of receive, why not write get? You know, we're so used to seeing these puffy words clutter our document that we almost mistake them for good writing. So Orwell also said, never use the passive voice when you can use the active voice. And you know, it's funny when it comes to the passive voice because we switch to it whenever we want to sound important. You know, instead of saying the Women's Auxiliary held a meeting to discuss the problem of passive language, we'll write, a meeting was held by the Women's Auxiliary to discuss the problem of passive language. Well, let's just hope that the Women's Auxiliary was able to work that one out. So number 6 is know your audience. And this comes to us by my very favorite, Canada's beloved late Pierre Burton. So before you write any copy, ask yourself, what is it that your audience is passionate about and what are they pissed off about? I call it the 2 P's. And until you know them, according to Mr. Burton, you have no business writing. And Pierre Burton also said, number 5, recycle and read the good stuff before you write. And again, great advice. I always do this before I start a new project. I literally will turn off the phone and start reading it. I find it gets me in the right place and reminds me of all the good things that I need to do in order to make the copy that I write shine. So number 4 is honor the miraculousness of the ordinary. And this comes to us from famous biographer Andrew Morton. And if you haven't got a clue what he's talking about, go and read a poem by Sherman Alexie or read the novel Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver. These are two of my all-time favorite authors, and they have both taught me that I don't need to look outside of the ordinary to find inspiration. And number 3, this is actually one of my absolute favorite rules. I live by it, and so should you. Stephen King says that good copy equals draft minus 10%. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that. It's so important. The formula is that your good copy should equal your draft minus 10%. Brilliant. The number 2 rule comes to us via Bob Cooper, who is my favorite writing teacher at Seneca, where I did my postgrad. And Bob said, look at every word in a sentence and decide if they're really needed. And if not, kill them. Be ruthless. You know, Bob used to always say, don't be afraid to kill your babies. And of course, us writers, we know when we're writing this prose to go and delete something we really like. That's exactly how it feels. But you've got to be ruthless. And the number 1 most important rule comes to us by Al Kennedy, who said, and I love this, he said, remember, writing doesn't love you. It doesn't care. Nevertheless, it can behave with remarkable generosity. Speak well of it, encourage others, and pass it on.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio, 19 past 6 on our Friday morning. Let's talk a little bit about our book marketing research ideation process. What does that mean? All right, I'll tell you what it means. Kind of like a book review polling process is kind of how I put it. It's, you know, you're sitting down, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write a book. Now, this can actually work for fiction or nonfiction, doesn't matter. But truly, if you're writing nonfiction, okay, so if you're writing books on maybe marketing, business, how-to books, all right, the nonfiction type books, you can go in, and one of the things that I like to do in the ideation process is I'm sitting before I sit down and start writing, I like to find out what people are saying about the current books. You know, maybe it's a book that is similar to mine relative to keywords, similar to my idea for the project that I'm going to begin to develop to identify a target market that's identical. And there's two sectors to a target market. I won't get too deep into this, but you know, you've got your target market and then you've got to segment your target market, where your target market as a whole is more heterogeneous. Okay, it's more vast. And so what I like to do is I like to get it homogeneous, which means I'm going to segment my target audience. So when I'm defining my target audience, I have to, in my mind, the first thing I got to do is, who am I writing for? Who's that one person that is going to be, is it a male? Is it a female? Age? Where do they live? What is their income level? Are they spiritual? What do they think about the economy? You know, I get the psychographics. What are their behavioral attributes? Where do they shop? Where do they eat? What do they like? What do they dislike? And I developed this composite. So now I've got a picture of this exact specimen, a meme, if you will. Okay? This individual. And it's almost the same process we use in radio. When I first began in radio some 30 years ago, one of the things my program director, Chuck McKay, said, hey, I want you to get a picture of this individual that is the person you're going to talk to every time you crack the microphone, because you're going to talk to that one person one-to-one. And that's kind of how I write my books, is really kind of a one-to-one approach, like what I'm doing right now with you, is I'm having a conversation with you right now. This is a one-to-one conversation. I'm not saying, hey, everybody. It's you and I doing the program. Well, it's kind of you and I when I'm writing the books. So one of the things I like to do as I'm going through the ideation process, one of my strategies is to find out what's working and what's missing. What's currently working and what's missing relative to my competition. So here's one of the processes that I use, one of the activities. I open up Amazon.com. And I go up towards the top and I run a keyword query. I'll be specific. I went to books on the drop down in Amazon. I typed in business strategy books. Amazon has rendered their first page, just kind of like Google, right? Now there's arguments as to what, you know, lands you on that first page, you know, dealing with relevance or price, etc. There is a metric for that, and I do have further detail on it, but I'm not going to cover it in today's program. We do have insight as to how you get and how, you know, why one book is ahead of another. But it's also one of those things that's likely very temporary. And again, I've talked about that in the past, and maybe I'll bring it up again next week, but we've got a lot to cover here on the program today. You know, so let's grab one of the books. So one of the books, when I go to Business Strategy on Amazon, I'm just going to scroll down to a book and go, here's one by Richard Rumelt. Richard Rumelt. Now, I don't know Richard Rumelt from, you know, from Salt, all right? But his book is called Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. I can see the format, the book format. I can see whether he's doing Kindle. I can see if it's part of Prime. I can see if it's paperback, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of the things I'm also looking at in Good Strategy, Bad Strategy, The Difference in Why It Matters, Richard's book here, is I'm looking off to the right and I can see the reviews, the stars, right? The ratings. So what I do is I actually click on his book And then I scroll down. I'll read some of the, you know, some of the description of the book, get some ideas there. This is, remember, we're doing our research. Then I start going through the editorial reviews. And I will go through, I'll look, you know, certainly not, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for thumbs up and thumbs down. I'm looking for people's comments, readers' comments. Richard's book was amazing. However, in chapter 3, he was rather remedial. I expected more meat and potatoes. Now, I'm just making that up. That's not one of his reviews here. I'm just making that up, just to make my point. Richard's book covered everything from soup to nuts. It was easy to understand. 5 stars. Doesn't tell me a lot. But now when a review is very specific, Richard, I love the way that you have this one-to-one tone in your writing. I like the humor that you used. I like, you see, I'm trying to draw out, I'm trying to sift through these reviews, and I'm actually keeping a chart. I'm actually in Excel while I'm looking at these reviews, and I'm entering this data. And I'm using these keywords. Book was boring. Book was cheap. Book sucked. Book was, you know, why it sucked. All those things I'm trying to break down into single words. And then I can begin to look at a correlation graph or chart on my Excel spreadsheet. And I can really start to focus on what was done well according to the readers and what was missing. What didn't work for them? And I call this the book review polling process. It's free. It's inexpensive, obviously. And it's inexpensive time-wise. In probably 30 minutes to an hour, you're going to get a better feel for your target audience. For that, because if your target audience is mine's the same as Richard's, and I can't be certain of that because I haven't done enough due diligence yet. But if Richard was, in fact, a true competitor, meaning him and I are serving the exact same reader base, and if I can provide what Richard left out, I can say, well, you've read Good Strategy, Bad Strategy, and you love this and you love that. Well, we've even added some of this and added some of that to try to make up for things that you thought were missing. Read my book. I'm being kind of silly, but you get the idea. The idea is we're looking for those niches. One other thing I wanted to share before we wrap today is a piece that was put out by Kimonzi Constable. He's a contributor, author, coach, blogger at KimonziConstable.com. And last year he did a piece called 10 Truths About Self-Publishing for Entrepreneurs with a Book Idea. With a Book Idea. So what I'm going to do is I'll make this post. Let me make a little note here on the side because I want to make this post available for you on Google+. And I'll put that in there sometime today. That way you have access to it. It's a really good article. Talks about some of the research. 10 Truths About Self-Publishing. It's really done well, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. We're out of time. God bless you. Have a super fabulous weekend. I love you so much. Please go out and love somebody this weekend. Thank you for being my friend. I will see you on Tuesday next week. Monday's hiatus. Tuesday through Friday next week, 6 o'clock in the morning. Make it a great weekend. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio. This has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.